Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports, will join us. We will go over college football games he likes this week, playoff scenarios, odds to make the playoffs, Heisman, you name it. We'll go through all of it with the Bear, maybe get his thoughts. I know he's got some bets he just made on NFL awards, some interesting ways to attack those. So excited to talk to the Bear. Well, I'll start here. A couple college games I like. And there's a Thursday night game here, Patriots and Jets. And boy, you look at this Patriots schedule. And they took care of business at Buffalo. They beat the Bills. They won at Tampa, you know, a Tampa team that a lot of people think is decent. And I was never really a believer. But so give them credit. They're beating who they are playing. All you can do is play your schedule. And you look back at week one where they lost at home to the Raiders. And that's just one of the stranger results. You always have that in the NFL week one where some result happens and it just doesn't make sense with the rest of the year. But it is the Patriots laying 12.5 to the Jets. The bet I like here, and this is a little bit of a rogue number. Who knows? Maybe by the time people listen, it might not be available. Hopefully it will be. DraftKings says -6.5 for the first half. So Patriots just have to be up by a touchdown or more going into the half. It's -108 too. I think that's a good number. So DraftKings, Patriots -6.5 for the first half is a play. And you look at this schedule. Like I said, I don't know if I've ever seen an easier schedule. They get the Bengals in a week or so or 10 days after this Jets game in Cincinnati. Burrow still won't be back for that one. Then they get home against the Giants. Home against the Bills December 14th. That's off of a bye. That's obviously a huge game, a tough game. And then at the Ravens. So that is two games that are really tough back-to-back or pretty tough. At Baltimore and Buffalo, those are tough ones. But they finish with the Jets again, and they play another game against the Dolphins. So, I mean, just start adding up the wins. It's hard not to see them getting, you know, give them a win against the Jets. I would probably give them both wins against the Jets. Dolphins, you can't give them everyone. They're probably going to win 4 out of the 5, even if you give them one loss among the Patriots, Bengals, Giants, Jets again, Dolphins. That 5-team stretch of pretty easy games, it's the NFL, so you can't just give them a 5-0. But I don't know, they go 4-1, and could you give them a split against Buffalo in Baltimore? So you get the idea. New England here is set up to possibly be the one seed, and you know, at 8-2 here, 4 more gives them 12, 5 more gives them 13. So they're just, you start doing the simple math of, as long as they don't fall on their face, you're looking at like a 12-13 win Patriot team. But I do like them -6.5 for the first half. Before I get to college, boy, that came on Monday night, Packers-Eagles. That was an absolute chore to watch. What Philly did, and I know they won, they got away with it. What Philly did, Sirianni going for it on fourth down with like 27 seconds left. When Green Bay couldn't move the ball, it was dicey weather. I thought they were trying to jump them off sides. I thought, no way they snap it. They throw the ball to the end zone. And then Green Bay, fortunately for Philly, cannot get into field goal range. Had a couple chances late after nobody could score. It gets to 10-7. And Green Bay could not matriculate into field goal range either of those last two drives. And you start to wonder here about LaFleur, about Love, about this little duo of head coach, quarterback. They're still -350 to make the playoffs. The Packers are. But you wonder, and they'll probably get in, but you wonder if they don't win a playoff game this year. You're probably not moving on for Love. He's in that category where he's too loved, too good to move on from. And in the contract, it's just, they paid him a lot of money. So it's not like, all right, we'll see you later. Not that they'd want to do that anyway. You just wonder if he's in that group of too good to move on from, but not good enough to actually win with. And he did not get a ton of help on Monday from his receivers. A lot of drop balls. There was a drive right after the half where a couple balls were just really inexplicable drops. But I don't know. You just watch him and you feel lukewarm watching him. LaFleur has been there for a while. Hasn't done much. They did win the one playoff game a couple years ago against the Cowboys, but I just wonder if that little duo here has gone stale. And you wonder if LaFleur, if they don't win a playoff game, if LaFleur is back and what kind of changes they make. Philly, it's not pretty, but they find ways to win these games, and that is a tough team. And like I said on the Monday pod, Eagles-Lions this week, Seahawks-Rams this week, it's very possible, if not likely, that is a Final Four preview in the NFC, and that's the matchup we're looking at divisional weekend in January between those four teams. So great weekend of football. You throw the Chiefs-Denver, which is a good game. And as good as the Chiefs are, and as good as the Chiefs think we are, you know, we think they are, and all of their past success, Denver just has to win a home game, and they're 9-2, and the Chiefs are 5-5, and that is just not quite a death sentence, but that is pretty much all but buried. And throwing the Chargers, who are in between those two teams, if you're 5-5 and you're chasing a team that's 9-2 and they have a head-to-head win over you, there's just not enough runway. There's not enough season left to come back and catch up, I wouldn't think. So a big game there. The big games in the NFC should be a lot of fun. We'll get to the Bear here in a second. Two games in college that jump out to me. I don't see Penn State getting off the mat here, getting off the bus and playing an inspired game against Michigan State. I think last week was their Super Bowl. They got up for the game. Indiana undefeated, number two team in the country. All right, let's try to ruin their season. Let's try to play spoiler. They got up for that game. That's a game you get up for. National TV, it's on Fox. It's a big game. And they had the recipe, I think, to play well as a dog. They got good running backs, decent defense. They got some NFL guys. They could shorten the game. That was a good spot for them. Now at Michigan State, this is a team that was a play away from me in the national title game last year, Penn State. National title favorite or thereabouts coming into the season. Just a month ago, I mean, they were sitting there. The season got off track here so quickly. I mean, just a month ago, they're, 3-0, 4-0, overtime against Oregon. All right, you lose that game, and then all hell breaks loose. The quarterback gets hurt, losing to Northwestern and UCLA, and Franklin gets fired. Long story short, I just don't know what they have in the tank here for Michigan State. I could see them being not motivated, kind of sleepwalking through this game. I will take Michigan State here plus the 7 against Penn State. I could see Penn State just come out here and laying an egg in Michigan State. You know, winning the game 20-13 or something, ugly game. You know, I do like the Spartans here getting the points. The other one I like, and I was talking about this, and I'll talk about it with Bear coming up. I was on the group chat with Bear and Jeff Schwartz and Sammy P, the Fox guys. And boy, Oregon laying 25.5 to Minnesota. I know Minnesota stinks. I know Minnesota's not going to be able to score, but this is such a trap game. When you look at Iowa the week before, looking ahead to USC. You know, if you talk to people around the program, though, just, you know, read the message boards, things like that. A lot of those guys are beat up for Oregon. They're skill guys. A lot of their guys on offense are beat up. Are they really going to have the desire? Now, maybe they accidentally win 35-0, but are they really going to have the desire to run up the score, or is it just get in, get out, win the game? And you know what? If you win it 28-7, fine. We move on. It doesn't have to be pretty. Just kind of pack it in the second half. That second half under might be a good look too. So I like Minnesota getting 25.5, and I like Michigan State getting the 7. Those are the two I played already for college. And then throwing the NFL, DraftKings has Patriots minus 6.5 for the first half. So that's what I think. We'll see what Bear thinks. Chris Felica, he is coming up next. This is Should Have Bet More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More Podcast. You can catch him. Fox Sports, Big Noon Kickoff, the Bear Bets Podcast. It is the Bear, Chris Felica Bear. It's amazing. One minute, it's Ohio State and Texas on Labor Day weekend. You blink and the season's all but over. How's it going, man? Thanks for coming on.
It is. You're right. Once, like, it felt like it took a little bit of a while, but once, like, the realization that the playoff rankings were here, it's like, oh, crap. It is real now, and you've got, what, 3 weeks left in the regular season before we get the championship Saturday, and we'll find out Tuesday night what the playoff rankings have in store for us.
Well, we'll get to some games here in a second, but just big picture with the committee. Do you think this is shaping up to be a pretty seamless process where they're not going to have too many tough decisions? I know you and I always like to talk about this and think about this. Like, what is the nightmare scenario? What is going to be really hard for them? Just overall here, what do you think the committee is going to be looking at over this next month in terms of, like, tough decisions, hard decision, and how this plays out?
I think we have to assume, for the sake of this discussion, to play out these scenarios, that Miami finishes 10-2 and Notre Dame finishes 10-2. Like, I think that is a real deal. Now, you can say certainly the Notre Dame team now, with C.J. Carr getting an entire year under his belt, is better than the Notre Dame team that played in Miami that first game of the year. But they did play. Miami did beat them. It wasn't a fluke. So I think that is it. Almost the way the committee has them ranked, at least going into the second week, it almost feels like they don't think Miami is going to go 3-0 to end the season, finish 10-2, and that's fair, given Miami's struggles in November under Mario Cristobal. But maybe the second half, the way Miami played last week, will wake them up. But I think that's the, And I know just from being a Miami alum, and my friends and alum who are Miami alums as well, like the nightmare scenario if you're a Miami fan is Notre Dame gets in at 10-2, and South Florida is the Group of Five rep. Like Miami, it was never a game with South Florida. Like that's the thing that everyone talks about, like wanting to make a change in the playoff. The one thing that the elephant in the room that no one really wants to address but really should be addressed is this automatic Group of Five bid. Like, everybody wants a Cinderella story. Oh, Group of Five, give the little guy a chance, until it's Oregon 35, Liberty nothing, like 9 minutes into the game. Like, no one wants to watch that. So, like, look, the reason this was put into place was to give like a historically good Boise team or a historically good TCU team or the UCF team a couple of years ago that was very good, to give that type of team a chance. It's not just to throw a seat at the party and just, oh yeah, go have a spot. But if you're leaving, whether it's a 10-2 Vandy or a 10-2 Miami out to put South Florida in, what are we really doing?
It's a great point, and this will be an easy thing to clip for social media. Bear hates the little guy. Bear hates the underdog. Did you root against the Hoosiers? Did you root against the was it Hickory High? Did you root for the other team? I mean, come on, you gotta
Hickory. I was gonna say I did root against the Hoosiers last year against Notre Dame because I had Notre Dame -7-7 in that game. So yeah, I did root against those who. Yeah, but Bear, big conference snob, hates the little guy, wants to just steal all their players with NIL in the portal and just get rid of them entirely. That's pretty much what I said.
I agree with you. I like it from a betting standpoint and trying to, like, pinpoint that team. I think you find some good numbers. I mean, you and I were talking about maybe early in the season when you first came on and through text, like, South Florida was plus 450, plus 460, where it's like, man, and look, it's not there yet, and they've it's taken a roundabout way, but from that perspective, it's fun, but as far as like putting the 12 best teams in there, it's it's that meme of like the polar bear in Texas. I'm like, all right, what's this guy doing here?
And here's the other thing that I'm like kind of kicking around. And again, I know it might not be actionable, but I'm trying to play out scenarios and like what's going to happen Tuesday night if Indiana maybe falls from number two to number three, because of the close win at Penn State and the new. And that great, unbelievable catch and throw, comeback win. Like, does it really matter? Like, it doesn't, but maybe it does, because what that might open up the door to is if Indiana, Ohio State play and it's 1-3, and maybe Indiana loses and it's maybe about a 10-14-point game or whatever, maybe Indiana falls to 5, and maybe Indiana doesn't get that first round bye, and you're looking at Ohio State, the SEC champ, and then maybe Georgia and another team that doesn't necessarily get to the SEC championship game. So you potentially could be looking at the SEC champ, SEC loser, and then Georgia, who might not even be in that game, getting 3 of the 4 first-round byes, and you get Indiana with the home playoff game as potentially the 5 seed, maybe against South Florida, whomever else.
There's no chance, if that's the Big Ten title game, Ohio State-Indiana, there's no chance Ohio State load manages and takes it easy and approaches it that way, right? They'll play it to win all out.
I can't imagine Ryan Day and that team and program doing that. I mean, look at like last year losing that Michigan game. I guess you could say had the time off, did them right to introspect or whatever. But with an undefeated season and a conference championship and potentially a Heisman Trophy on the line,
yeah,
for Julian saying, I can't see that happening.
Do you think that is as simple as Ohio State wins, it goes to Sane, Indiana wins, it goes to Mendoza, or are there other scenarios at play?
I think it's as simple as that right now. I know Sammy P's got a nice Ty Simpson ticket, and for his benefit, I hope he has a chance. But I think it kind of is setting up winner take all in Indianapolis that weekend. Whether you agree with me or disagree with me, it's just my thought. I know some people want to make a case for Marcel Reed as well. I just can't see that happening, especially if it's 12-0, you got Sane with the ridiculous numbers, and then the great, obviously, story of Mendoza transferring in and Indiana coming from the worst winning percentage in any Power 5 team when Signetti was hired to win in a Big Ten championship. I think the We've seen enough of these awards and the narratives and the way these people vote. It comes down to that, and that narrative will be extremely hard to overcome for someone other than Fernando Mendoza.
Big games this weekend. Bama laying 6 at home to Oklahoma. Georgia laying 6 at home to Texas. Do you have a bet or just a quick thought on either or both of those games?
The Oklahoma-Alabama game interests me a bit. It looks like Oklahoma did take some money. I saw some 7s, and I was curious if they were going to, because Alabama feels like a team that I want to short. And I know Alabama fans are going to get up in arms about this. Now, look, I think this individual game, you look at what Alabama did last year in Norman, absolutely embarrassing loss, couldn't complete a forward pass. And that ultimately was the third loss and the death knell in the coffin of them getting to the college football playoff. So there might be a bit of revenge here and motivation for the loss that Kalen DeBoer's team took last year. So I don't know now at 5.5 or whatever if I want to take Oklahoma. But in terms of like maybe the Auburn game or the SEC championship game, since the loss in Tallahassee, every single like high leverage play moment that Alabama needed to happen, the pick six before the half, the Pavia fumble, the South Carolina game, like everything that they needed to happen to win.
Missouri.
Eventually, at some point, one of those plays is not going to go their way, and it's looking like it's setting up to happen in like the highest leverage, highest profile moment. So Alabama might be a team that I'm going to look to short come college football playoff time. I did take some Texas plus 7.5 on a look ahead that I found last week. I would still consider taking Texas plus the 6.5. I know it crossed that magic number. But I think that Texas defense, I think they're going to get healthier in the secondary. I think the week off with their running backs getting healthier, I think that mattered. Now, look, Kirby Smart does not lose to top 10 teams at Sanford Stadium. He's 8-0. However, I think this Texas team, the two games that they played last year were obviously close. The game in Austin was a little obviously marred by that, the fan interruption. But I think Texas coming in here is a bit of a live dog. And we've talked about the possibility of Texas getting in at 9-3 if they can win in Athens or beat an undefeated A&M team at the end of the year. So the path is there for Texas. I would, like I said, I took some 7.5, and I would consider taking some 6.5 too.
Any odds to make the playoffs you think are interesting? We were just talking about Miami. I looked, they're plus 680 on FanDuel. I don't know.
That's a little long.
You think so?
Yeah, like
I thought so too.
The path is there. Like, I think the biggest
thing. What is the path? How would you lay out the path of them getting in?
I think they win out, and I think that you've got Utah, who probably will not win at Baylor, at Kansas, and Kansas State. Like, Utah is like the team that's puzzling me the most with their ranking at 10-2. Baron Morton didn't play in Salt Lake, and Texas Tech went in there and won with their backup quarterback. BYU came back and beat them as well. Like Utah, you beat Cincinnati, okay, fine. Like I get a lot of their like efficiency metrics are good, but they like you watch Utah play offensive football, and it's like, really? Like that's a playoff team. So I think that Utah ranking is going to kind of correct itself a little bit, but I think as if Miami does win out and Notre Dame does win out, and you've got that 10-2 versus 10-2, that's I think when that head-to-head comes into play. South Florida staying ranked and winning the AAC would give Miami another ranked win. So like I think as well the coaches in that room, like it's like, okay, they played, Miami won, like it's hard to like deny that. So like I think as we get closer, if both teams continue to win and you see maybe Miami continue to get closer and closer and closer in the rankings, that's when that head-to-head comes into play, and I think ultimately could be a decision maker as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would take a little bit of a nibble there at Miami around plus 6-1 or so to make the playoff. Just like I said, I would take a little nibble on Texas at like plus 185 or so to make the playoff as well.
Yeah, and I just looked a few minutes ago, like maybe like less than an hour ago, and that was the number. Now it's down to plus 550. So I guess some people, it's a small movement, but yeah, that'd be interesting.
Plus, the key too is that you're going to have the committee now hearing for weeks about this, and that it's human nature. It's going to happen. It's weird because Miami has typically never been a team or a program that's gotten a ton of public love, media support, or whatever. And here it is. It's like everyone's kind of pointing out to like the same thing. It's like, how can you leave Miami out if they beat Notre Dame and they beat South Florida and they're 10-2 and they're again, all talking points or whatever. But I do think the best thing Miami has going for it right now is time and the narrative that's going to continue to build if they continue to win games.
Utah +310 to make it. USC +320 to make it.
That I can't see.
Nothing.
I can't see USC going to Oregon and winning next week. I don't see that at all. I remember a few weeks back on Bear Bets, we talked about like Big Ten teams under 3.5 to make it was like -300 or something like that. And I laid it because I didn't think there was a path for four teams. I would be shocked if Michigan beat Ohio State this year and won out and finished 10-2 and made it. And I'd be surprised if SC wind up beating Oregon and made it as well.
The list of teams that could win it all in your mind is how many?
I really think Ohio State is a super strong favorite. It's interesting because I was talking with someone last night who really isn't sure about Ohio State just because some of the offenses that they played in the Big Ten are so bad.
Urban Meyer?
Is their defense really that good? And we'll see. I think, and I probably am in the minority here, I think Georgia's a legitimate national championship contender. I know they've kind of screwed around at times this year, and defense hasn't looked great. But again, they were on the wrong side of some plays against Alabama. But again, this is another team that continues to find ways to win. They can't get a stop until they need a stop. Gunnar Stockton's gotten better as the year has gone on. Their receivers have emerged. They ran for 300 yards last week in a game that a lot of people thought was a trick spot in Starkville. I think Georgia's a team that would benefit from not going to the SEC championship game and get that week of rest. I know Kirby Smart was pretty vocal about that last year as well, unfortunately having to play in that game. And so I think Georgia can win it. I think Ohio State can win it. Call me crazy, but I think a healthy Oregon can win if they can get more back at wide receiver and tight end back and kind of get healthy again. Another team that's going to benefit from not having to go to Indianapolis to play in that Big Ten championship game. So I think Ohio State, I think Oregon, I think Georgia. I don't know if Notre Dame can win it. Again, we only have to go with what we've seen them do against really good teams. And the two best teams they played on their schedule, they lost. I think if you are in the boat of looking to want to fade Notre Dame come playoff time, you're going to get some great prices because they're going to be very, very inflated. Indiana, I don't think can win it. Great story. But I think ultimately asking them to win three or four of those types of games is a little bit too much. You've got to have talent. You've got to have talent recruiting classes stacked, and there really aren't very many teams out there that can.
Group of five teams is as simple as it's looking like a South Florida, North Texas, American Conference. It's a complicated picture because there's a lot of teams in tiebreaker centers, but if you just go by the odds, South Florida is +130 to be the representative or to make the playoff, and North Texas is slightly above that. I don't know. Am I misreading that market or anyone else in the mix here?
I think James Madison obviously has a chance, and I think South Florida is certainly the best team in the group of five. But their road to making the college football playoff is much tougher than JMU. Like JMU is going to have a much easier path of getting to 12-1 with the conference title. Like I said, USF is the best team, but can they beat North Texas in the AAC championship game? Remains to be seen. I think ultimately it will be USF. I think they will ultimately get there, but I think in a situation where North Texas beats USF and James Madison wins out, I think JMU is going to have a pretty strong case.
Yeah. NFL, I know you added some award. Anything else in college games, by the way? Any other college games you wanted to
touch on? Yeah, I am shocked at the movement out to 13 at Circa for Michigan against Northwestern. Like, I don't get that move at all. This is a Michigan team that can't throw the football. Northwestern has struggled with teams that are like athletic on the perimeter and have high-powered offenses. This is not what Michigan does well. I'm going to sit around and maybe wait for a 13.5, and maybe it'll touch 14 if I get lucky. But Northwestern plus that big number was really, really intriguing to me. We've seen now the movement on Illinois. I brought that up on Bear Bets Pod yesterday. Like, when I was like, there's no way this is closing at 14, right? It's the Maryland team that just lost to Rutgers, and Illinois always blows out these poor sisters of the bottom of the Big Ten. It's a game that they were out. USC-Iowa is interesting to me. Like, I always am a little concerned about teams coming off of, like, that devastating gut punch loss. But I think the Iowa team's built a little bit differently. I think that defense and I think the way Iowa plays, I think they could give SC some trouble. I'm also a bit surprised at the Friday night game that Oregon is out to 25.5.
Totally with you.
Jeff Schwartz and you and I on the group thread have been talking about this as well. Like, this is a classic sandwich spot for Oregon with the guys still hurt, off of a short week. Friday night game, look ahead to SC. Like Minnesota is going to have a bear of a time scoring points. But 25.5, like, this could be a 31-7 type game, and you're still getting the cover. So under in Minnesota plus the 25.5 looks pretty appealing to me. And then let's see. Virginia-Duke, I think, is a little bit interesting as well, because I think Virginia, if Chandler Morris doesn't play, and again, I don't know what the concussion protocol status with him is. The loss for people, look, a lot of people called that loss last week by Duke at UConn, but in the grand scheme of the ACC race, it means nothing. And Duke right now could be a four-loss team that gets to the ACC championship game and gets in the playoff. This is the game they need, and I would expect them to beat UVA, and I would lean towards laying the 6.5 now with the Blue Devils.
I think it was week two before they played Illinois. I asked you guys in the group chat, anyone see an odd for Duke to make the playoff? And I think it might have been Jeff who responded with a snarky football playoff. You mean a football playoff? And I was like, I mean, it's possible. There's a path there. Of course, I didn't find
it. You know what was funny? I remember bringing them up about, like, I wonder what the price is on Duke to make the AAC championship game. And, like, it was Kelly on a numbers game. He's like, yeah, you're not going to like the number. And they were literally like the second choice. And this was like a month ago to make the game. So, yeah, I would have hated that price. And it looks like with the win against Duke and a win against some of their other rivals, they're going to be there.
Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi might have some things to say about that, though.
They could. And look, as much as UNC's gotten
– they've played better.
Dumped on by a lot of people, they very easily could have beaten Cal. Very easily could have beaten Virginia and got the win last week as well. Beat Syracuse. So they looks like the defense is playing a hell of a lot better. Offensively, they still got some problems, but given credit, the team could have gone completely south in the habit.
Maybe Lombardi reaches out to you and or me, and we go down there. We fix the offense next year, and then it looks like a whole different team. Who knows?
My phone is open. My phone lines are always open. I own the only people I block are the spam risk call. So Lombardi, he has our number. He can call us whenever.
I ran some good stuff when I used to play Madden. I'm retired from the video game thing, but I ran some good stuff with Madden. I mean, a lot of it, I had Dante Culpepper, Moss, Chris Carter, so I just spread everybody out, run with Culpepper. I had a lot of options to run deep, but like I'm like you. My phone line is open. NFL awards. I'll give you the floor. Is there a bet to be made? I know you threw in a parlay.
I did.
Jackson Dart went from looking good to looking not so good, which, look, that style, it wasn't sustainable, so I can't cry about a bad beat. Hopefully, you know, he can come back soon and he's healthy, but I'll give you the floor. What do you think is worth a bet right now?
I think Vrabel, coach of the year, is right. I know he's the favorite. I know he's the short shot, but if you look at the schedule for the Patriots, like, this is a team that's going probably 13-4 at worst.
It's the easiest schedule I've ever seen. It's crazy.
It's amazing. But give them credit. You still have to go out and win the games, and they did pull the upset in Buffalo. So give me, but just think about it. The narrative before the year about Mike Vrabel is back. Mike Vrabel's the Patriots coach. The Titans screwed him. He never should have been fired. And to go out and win the division where the Bills were the biggest division favorite in all of the league, I think he's a shoo-in for the award. I know some people have good McDonald numbers and some people have some good Steichen numbers, but again, narrative, those 50 voters, I think Vrabel is a very strong favorite. I look forward to when Gil has Aaron Schatz on again to talk about some of these awards. I think Christian McCaffrey for Comeback Player Award is something that is very live. I was up in the air on between him and Dak, but
yeah,
just to look at that Niners offense and know that he essentially is the offense running and receiving. He's going to probably break that receiving yards by a running back record. I think he is a very good bet, even though, again, he is a short shot. I've got, obviously, I think we talked about here, we talked about on Bear Bets, we talked a lot, everywhere it went on, I talked about Emeka Buka at 30-something to one to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think now you mentioned the Jackson Dart injury. I don't know why the Giants would play him the rest of the year. You've fired Brian Daboll. You know you have something with Jackson Dart. He's been in the protocol and knocked out a couple of times now in the last few games. Don't risk it. Long-term, you finally got your guy. And I think Abuka, as long as the hamstring stays healthy and they're in an offense that Baker Mayfield's going to continue to throw him the ball. Again, I know he's the favorite, and there's still a little bit less than half of the season to be played, but I think he is a really good bet for the award. I know some people like Tyler Warren, but are we really going to go for a tight end when Brock Bowers didn't win it? Really wasn't close. I know the quarterback class was much better, and we're talking about a tight end versus a receiver, but I think Abuka's numbers are ridiculous. And then, again, narrative award, Matthew Stafford, MVP. I know people are making the case for Drake May, but I'm looking at just the Rams and what we were talking about before the year about, is Matthew Stafford going to be able to play? Back injury, everyone fading his season totals, and those are all expensive coasters right now for people that hopped on all those Matthew Stafford season unders. Could potentially be his last year. He's never won the award. Like, it all lines up, and all this stuff is going to go through voters' minds. So I think Stafford are like 3-1 or the best price you can potentially find on him. A good bet. And remember, if you're looking, it's kind of like a pick your fighter type week. If you're a Rams guy or if you're a Seahawks guy, whoever you want to back for these awards, you probably do it before Sunday, because the winner of that game is going to see a dramatic decrease in those prices. And the other thing that I was looking for as well that I played was the Patriots. You talked about with the Steelers before the season of a round of elimination, like Steelers to lose in the wild card round. I think Patriots to lose in the division round is probably a good bet. You could probably look at the same thing for the Colts, because I think we're all kind of seeing the same thing. Like these days, I feel more good about the Patriots losing in the division round, assuming they get the number one overall seed. Like, they're going to be hosting Kansas City or Buffalo or Baltimore. And, like, do we really expect one of those teams to go in there and not be favored in that game? So I think they were like plus 190 or something like that, New England to lose in the division round. I think we're all kind of lining up just waiting to fade these teams come playoff time.
What was I going to add? If Seattle wins the division, does Stafford still win the MVP, or is that kind of a prerequisite?
Good question. I think it might be a prerequisite. Maybe if it's a finish with the same record, lose a tie break, it potentially could maybe flip on that.
Darnold's a pretty good story, too. I'm with you on Stafford. I said the same thing the other day. Darnold's a pretty good story, too. You know, flamed out with the Jets. Vikings let him go after this great season, and now he leads Seattle to a division and a one seed. I think just because that's a pretty much a coin flip between Seattle and the Rams for the one seed or for the division, I actually think Darnold at 10-1 is not a bad bet. You're kicking yourself for not getting 60-1, 70-81. I get that. But just like looking at a vacuum, just because I think it's a coin flip, I think Darnold is, I don't know that they'll give it to me. I think the fact that he's young works against him. Like, oh, you'll be back. You'll have plenty of time to win it. It's not your term, that kind of thing. And the other thing that's interesting, too, and I was thinking about this, Darnold's kind of in the same position he was in last year with Minnesota having this great season, but they weren't a lock to get a buyer division, and they end up being a wild card. Seattle and the Rams, it's sort of the same thing where you got these two monster teams, but somebody's going to be playing on the road wild card weekend. It's interesting how Darnold's in the same position 2 years in a row.
You know what's amazing too about Darnold is that how his odds like went the price like falling on Sunday. He turned the ball over 3 times.
I know,
and it was like just a catch and run. By JSN.
I know.
It's like, okay.
I texted you guys. I was like, all right, I can't do it anymore. 12-1, I'm going to bet it. A couple of minutes later, it was plus 750. I admittedly wasn't watching the game. I was getting dinner ready and just looking at the score. I was like, enough. It was more just a fear of like, all right, I'm not going to have nothing. I see where this is going. It's so much related to the team, but it is interesting how the market just reacts to the team's success, and it's not really like it's not really anything he did, but it's the fact that the team's so good, and if they're going to be the one seed, you know what? A couple of turnovers and a blowout against Arizona is not going to hurt them. It's the fact that they're going to have a really good team, a really good record, and he's going to be right in the mix. It's interesting.
Let me throw the Jonathan Taylor story at you as a response to your if the Rams aren't the division winner there. Is Jonathan Taylor – I mean, without him, they're nothing. I get the people whose sentiment is like, oh, it can't go to a running back. It's got to go to a quarterback. But, who's been more important to their team this year than Jonathan Taylor?
I always stick to it's a quarterback award. I thought it with McCaffrey a couple of years ago when he was getting a lot of attention. I thought it with Barkley last year. Maybe one of these years I'll be wrong. Maybe this is the year I'm wrong. I still defer. Now, look, if you got him 50-60-1, those are great bets to have in the account. Would I sit here at plus 650 and say, oh, you should bet that at plus 650? I wouldn't. And if you look at some of the run defenses they play some pretty good defenses down the stretch. I do think there's a little correction, a little cooling off with Taylor.
Which is why also I kind of like the Patriots one seed. And I know, give Gil credit on this. He was talking about this a few weeks back about how
we don't give Gil credit on this show. We don't do that.
I was going to say, that's why I tried to sneak it in. I didn't say his last name. Give the host of a show that's on VSiN from 10 to 1 Eastern time on Monday through Friday, give that guy a little bit of credit for that to point it out. But I got one other non-football bet that I made as well. I bet Liverpool to win Champions League at plus 750, and there might even be some better numbers out there. Again, full disclosure, I am a Liverpool guy. The league is done for this year. They've already punted on the League Cup. Their priority now is to win Champions League. And I think they've kind of figured out their best lineup to move forward with this. The game against Real Madrid last week was the best game they have played all year. And if you can do that against Real Madrid, you can do that against anyone. They've already beaten Arsenal in their Prem. Now they went on the road and lost to City in a weird game on Sunday. But you look at the Champions League and so the teams that they're going to be playing, there isn't anyone in there that ultimately should scare you as a Liverpool supporter now, knowing that this is going to be the priority the rest of the year. Maybe they add another defender and in the next transfer window to kind of give themselves a little bit of a support in the back line, being that Leone got hurt early in the year. So I think if you're looking for a little soccer long-term fix, Liverpool to win Champions League at the best possible price you can find is something you might want to throw in.
All right, last two quick. You got to be happy with what the Jets did a week ago, trading Gardner, trading Williams, getting all these picks back. It's got to make you happy, at least going in the right direction, maybe?
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I love all the talk about how do you give up all these defensive pieces and bricks and foundation of it. The defense was one of the worst. I mean, they were like 20-something in the league. And I get, you have to hit on these picks now, and they hit on all these picks, and they still stunk. But that was a team that was built. Whatever Aaron Rodgers did was how the season was going to go. And unfortunately, they were built around him, and he got hurt 3 plays into the year, and it wound up going into the tank. But the pieces were there. They were built to win that year, and I think they could have won that year, and you do too. I know that, but moving forward now to have, seven picks in the first 2 rounds over the next couple of years, that's accruing assets. It means that they don't necessarily have to pick a quarterback this year. You can do another 1 year rental with whomever. And then in 27, when maybe the quarterback draft is better, I know we say this every year that, oh, this quarterback draft is going to be unbelievable. You could have Drew Aller and Arch Manning and Carson Beck and whoever. And, like, yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, really? Okay, that's who we're going to take now. But 27, if you look at potentially Julian Sain, you potentially look at Dante Moore, some of the other guys, like 27 looks like it could be a quarterback draft. And if there is a plan in place now to just build for that year, I'm all for it. Like, take the best available players. You got your pick. You got the Colts pick. So I'm in full agreement for what the, how they're going about doing this.
Your other team, our team. What is the Yankees and Brian Cashman's master plan for this winter? I'm sure it's going to be brilliant, right?
Oh yeah, we're going to bring in what, Framber Valdez maybe. Bring in maybe Josh.
I don't think
Bell.
So. I think they think they're okay with their pitching. I think we'll get Cole back. Freed, Rodon, Schlittler, that's four. I guess they're interested. Yeah,
that's a pretty we kid and we bust their chops.
That's a good
a
rotation.
Lot. That's a good rotation. It's just going to be like,
what's Cole have left off at his age with these injuries? Even if he's, right. I mean, I don't know that he's ever going to be Cy Young guy, but if he can be, you know, B pitcher, like, we're, I don't know. I know wins aren't a thing anymore, but 15, 16 games, three ERA, low three. He could still be effective, I think. But
take that. Know. And what do you do in free agency? Like, what are you gonna? What's Bellinger and Grisham like? What are they gonna command? And like, you really want to commit to that?
I don't. I think they'll bring Bellinger back. I mean, I'd like them to get Tucker, but I don't see that. I don't know.
And like, you really like Volpe is your guy? Like.
I don't know what the alternatives are. I mean, it's hard to find offense now. It's hard to – I mean, they had their chances to get shortstops in years past with Seager and some of those other guys. But I don't know. I feel like the team is going to look pretty similar to the team last year.
I do, too. Yeah. And maybe Nolan Jones will be the next great future Yankee will come up and be everything that – I can't believe the Pirates rejected that trade for Skeens for Nolan Jones.
Spencer Jones and Dominguez, the next Maryson Mantle.
Who the hell is Nolan Jones? What the hell am I thinking?
Spencer Jones, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm trying to think. Who the hell? I don't know who the hell Nolan Jones is. I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking like the Yankee, like not getting Nolan Arenado or something. I don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, the Martian was supposed to be the change baseball, and he doesn't even play. Didn't even play in the playoffs. And then Spencer Jones, who's like Mickey Mantle Jr., who's like 26 and still in the minors. It's really crazy. These awards, though, do you have any skin in these awards that are finally getting announced? That was a little bit of a surprise on Monday night with Baldwin. I didn't have any skin in that one. I know our buddy, I think he listens to the podcast, Mike Montesano had Horton, and that was a tough beat because he closed like -270 and. Yeah. Closing -270 and getting home are not the same thing, and he did not get home.
Correct. Yeah, no. I have Skeens at for Skeens at for Cy Young. I had Scooble when he dropped it. So I got the two favorites for Cy Young, and I had a little Crochet as well. So I'll do. I didn't play a lot of them this year. I played some. Who the hell did I play for Rookie of the Year?
Cam Smith.
I played Cam Smith for Rookie of the Year. Yes.
Yeah, he was looking good for a while. 20-1 and then like plus one. He was almost even money at one point.
And we played it right because a lot of these Rookie of the Year awards, like it was up in the air. Like, obviously, do I wish I had a Kurtz ticket? Yeah. Because I think we all kind of were like, yeah, I don't. Jacob Wilson, is that really going to kind of last? And he got hurt, ultimately got hurt. And the NL, we were price hunting, and Miz was a hot commodity. And kid from the Reds was a hot commodity, and like none of them ultimately got, but we had the right idea in the NL that there really wasn't anybody that was I played the catcher from the Marlins. I played him. I'm forgetting his name right now.
Ramirez. I think that's the guy he got from for Chisholm from the Yankees.
Yeah. I guess Ramirez. I played him when he came up, but wrong catcher.
Yeah, and I got Burns 150-1 that Saturday night, and then like 3 days later, he was like 3-1. He had that great start against the Yankees, and then just, I don't know, he was moved to the bullpen, and then he just had some rough starts. That was the old CLV dumpster. Do you think Judge wins?
I do.
Yeah.
I think it's close. I think it's close, but I think he does win. You're good either way, right? Because you got like that 5-1 on anybody but Judge, right?
Yeah, my buddy's got Rally. How about this? I think 500 at 80-1. I think he's 40K, and he did not hedge.
Oof. He's not sleeping until Thursday, that's for sure.
I think he thinks it's a loss. I think he thinks it's a loss.
Well, I'm going to be rooting for that. I got no skin in the game, so I'm rooting against you. I'm rooting for your buddy to win 40K on Raleigh.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Bear, you're the best, man. So appreciate the time. Host
would be upset with that decision, too.
Yeah. Well, does he have anything or no?
No, I think he was basically just saying about the, like, the advanced stats and just the everything, like, every statistic points to judge, and it does. But it would be good to see the ANG host get a little.
Kind of check in with Jason Weingarten, too. He was always good on these awards. That's what I miss hearing his perspective on these awards.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't see very much from him this year. I think he just said in tweeting and stuff that he really didn't get involved very much in a lot of the awards this year. And you know what? That probably could have wound up being the smartest thing to do. Yeah, I think the last thing I mentioned was I brought up Cam Smith to Jason when I DM'd him one and he was like, yeah, good number, and I don't think we made any bets after that.
Yeah, and that's the thing about these 20, 50, 70 to 1, whatever. It could be a good number. It doesn't have to get home all the time or even half the time, and it's not, you know, just because you get ahead of it doesn't mean it gets home. Bear, you're the best, man. Where can we find you?
At Chris Felica, Bear Bets Pod, Monday, Thursday, Friday, Big Noon, Saturday. Another month to go, and I'm sure I'll have enough college football fan bases pissed off at me for trying to bring up voices of reasons and contrarian points of view to – talk about their team and why their team sucks.
All right, Bear. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, guys. Be good.
All right. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back on Friday. See you then.